Well, good morning, everyone. Turn this on. Yeah. Great to be here. And thank you, worship team. I did enjoy the worship this morning. If you're a regular here, you will know that we have been working through the book of Ephesians. What we believe and how we live. How we live it out in our daily lives. And so this morning we are looking at Ephesians chapter 6 verses 5 to 9, slaves and masters. And you'll recall that over the past 2 weeks we've been studying the passage from chapter 5 verse 21 to today, which will be 6 verse 9, and covering three main areas. 2 weeks ago Ross shared with us about husbands and wives. And then last week, Neville spoke about children and parents. And so today we're looking at slaves and masters. And so I have the scripture up here on PowerPoint. If you can read it, I'd like you to all join with me and read it out loud, because sometimes I think when we read aloud, it goes into our mind a lot better. So let's read this passage together. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask your Holy Spirit to teach us as we ponder over these verses this morning. Speak to us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you might think, well, slaves and masters, not relevant for me. Don't be too quick to come to this judgment, because I believe that the Lord has something to say to all of us through this passage. In a typical household of the time that Paul was writing, these were the three dominant relationships that needed to be regulated. As I've mentioned, husbands and wives, children and parents, and slaves and masters. And Paul is answering the question, what difference does it make in a family when its members become Christians? Right? What difference does it make in a family when its members become Christians? And so even just the very existence of this text and others like it in Colossians and Peter and Titus, it shows us that God is not indifferent about the ordinary give and take of our family life. Okay, God is interested in every aspect of our lives, but also our family life. And as we look at this passage, I want us to reflect on our own lives and our actions as Christians. Are our lives, our attitude, are they any different to those around us? Can people see any difference in your life and my life? John Piper said, if Christ is our Lord, he is Lord of all our daily life. Right? Not just when we wake in the morning and have a devotional time, or when we're at church here on Sundays. No. God is interested in all of our family life. And it's really important to understand right from the beginning that Paul is not dealing with the legitimacy or otherwise of slavery. That's not his purpose in writing these verses. Slavery was very much part of the social and the economic system of the ancient world. And it's actually been estimated that in the Roman Empire at the time that Paul was writing, there were something like 6 million, right, 6 million slaves. And so it was almost as half the population was enslaved to the other half. It wasn't just a few slaves or a few families that were affected. We're talking about big time numbers. And sometimes a slave situation was very good and they were treated well, and yet often there was much, much cruelty. A lot of abuse. They could be whipped, they could be branded, slaves could be mutilated, they could even be killed. Life was not easy for slaves. They were totally at the mercy of their master. Praise God, because of Christianity, eventually slavery was abolished. But of course, in reality, we know that there are many situations throughout the world today where slavery is, it's not legal, but it's carried out. And so we need to be keeping on praying for these situations, that Christianity will spread and that slavery will be abolished. Although the numerous slaves who had come into the Christian church were actually in the apostle's mind when he wrote these verses, the principles of the whole section, they apply to employees and employers today, in our day. And so that's why I want us to ponder on these verses. What is the Lord saying to me in my situation, in my work or in my serving, or where I fit in the community? Our attitude to work and the spirit demanded of masters and those under them are just as relevant in a free society like ours as in a slave community. And this is why I want us to pay careful attention. So, as I mentioned, slaves were often very unjustly treated, and so today, workers can be just as unfairly treated. They can be scorned just as thoroughly, they can be wounded just as deeply, maybe not physically, but the words that we express, we can wound people very easily. They can be threatened just as harshly, or they can be despised just as cruelly. And so, sadly, sometimes we're a part of this. The words that we speak, the tone of our voice, the appearance on our face, we can be doing these things as well. And so we need to be asking the Lord, Lord, change me, touch me, remind me when I'm not doing these things as you would have me do. So, firstly, in this passage, Paul speaks about the duty of employees, all right? Employees, the workers, the slaves, call them what you like. But firstly, Paul says, obedient, obey. Slaves, obey your earthly masters, all right? And that same word is used in chapter 6 and verse 1, where Paul says to children, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the same word. Slaves had to be obedient to their masters. They couldn't answer back. They couldn't challenge them. They had to be obedient. And it was the employer's job to lay out the work, what had to be done, and also how it had to be done. And so a slave had to obey the master and do the job as it was laid out for him or her to do. Be obedient, servants are told. Secondly, Paul says, respect. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear. Paul just doesn't stop at obedience. He adds this phrase, with respect and fear. And it strengthens the attitude of obedience. And it could be very difficult at times, especially if the employer was harsh or very unwise. But it was made a little bit easier if they understood that ultimately they're serving Christ, All right? Yes, they were serving their employer, but ultimately it's the Lord Jesus Christ that they were serving. And so that did help in that situation. In serving their earthly masters, they were primarily serving Christ. How about us? In the work that we do, the serving that we do, do we do it as unto the Lord? Do we see the Lord Jesus Christ as the one that we're offering our service to or our work to? Currently in Hong Kong, there are between 350 and 400,000 domestic workers. 98% of them are women, and primarily they come from the Philippines and from Indonesia. They are legally required to live in their employer's home. They can't just live somewhere else and come into work. They have to live in their employer's home. And they would do the cooking, cleaning, looking after the children. In many cases, they're looking after the elderly. They don't have elderly homes, or many of them in Hong Kong. And so they're really considered the backbone of many families in Hong Kong. And yet, they face significant abuse and exploitation. The hours can be very long. They have to do a lot of hard work. They work very hard. And they must obey their employers. And it can give rise to very difficult situations. And one domestic worker that I know very well, she told me about her previous employer. The employer was very harsh. She wasn't allowed to eat any of the family's food. She wasn't allowed to store her own food in their fridge. She wasn't allowed to do the washing of her clothes in their washing machine. She had to go do it in the clubhouse. But she was a God-fearing woman, and she obeyed. She worked diligently, honestly, and she did her work. And when her two-year contract expired, she handed in her notice and went and worked for another family. And she is now working for my daughter's family, and they love her, and she is very much a part of their family. And she continues to work obediently, respectfully, in every way, just as Paul admonished the slaves of his day. So the next duty that Paul outlines to slaves is sincerity. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Now, the Greek word that Paul uses, it has the idea of generosity or liberality. They do their work over and above what they're actually asked to do, very generously and very liberally. They don't hold back from their best. They pour themselves into their work. And this is what Paul is saying here with sincerity. And it also underlines the purity that of motivation that should actually characterize a slave's work and service to their master. A cleaner in a large church in the UK became a Christian. And so after some time, the pastor asked her, if her commitment to Christ made any difference to her cleaning work. Oh, yes, she replied. I now sweep under the mats instead of just around them. Okay, our commitment to Christ should make a difference in our work. Does it? Do we remember that ultimately all that we are doing is we are working for the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, of course, we have a boss. We have an employer. We have a manager. But our work is for Christ. And it means that whatever we do it as unto the Lord. And so the standards of our work should be fit for the King, right? The Lord is our King. He is our Lord. And so whatever we do, we should be doing it to the best of our ability, over and above what is expected of our earthly employers or managers. The next duty that Paul outlines is loyalty. Obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Or as another translation expresses it, fill your service with energy and enthusiasm with which you would fill if it were done for Christ, for it really is being done for Christ. This means no cutting corners, no shoddy work, no, oh, that'll do, she'll be right, mate. No, the Lord judges from the heart, not from our outward appearance. And even if the work is to be done for an earthly master is tedious or it's burdensome, if the Christian slave remembered that they were doing it for the Lord, that would change their attitude. And so Paul is encouraging them to constantly remember that they are working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And furthermore, the standard of work must be for always and not just when their eye is on them. That means you don't work well just when you're being watched. Even when nobody's around, you work just as hard, just as diligently, you pour your heart into it just as much. Paul was thinking of a slave who only worked hard when the master was there, or like the office manager. Everybody works hard when the manager comes in. But actually, in reality, quite often they're talking or scrolling on their phones. But when the manager comes, things change, right? Paul recommends a steady, faithful service that comes from having a heart in the right place. It involves loyalty to the employer and to the company, and a desire to see the work done and to see it done well to the best of our ability. And fifthly, Paul says to work wholeheartedly. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. Is that our attitude when we're working or when we're serving? In spirit, people really cease to be slaves as soon as they remember that they are working for the Lord. Yes, of course, they have an earthly master, but ultimately we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are simply out to please the master are working for men, but Paul wants his hearers to see themselves as primarily slaves of Jesus Christ. This means that their service will be enthusiastic, wholeheartedly, putting everything in into their work that they can. A couple of years ago, my daughter was working for an American bank. Now, this bank is very good at what they do, but they're also known for being very harsh on their workers. And over some time, it became clear to my daughter that although the Lord had led her into this job, the manager had changed and the new manager didn't feel that my daughter was worth her pay. Although she was doing her best to work hard, it seemed over time that the manager was doing all that she could to get rid of her. And at the time, she prayed and she actually asked the Lord, "Lord, could I resign?" And she felt the Lord say, "No, stay in your job, be loyal to your manager, be loyal to the company, and work." And so she did continue, but of course she found it very hard. The pressure was on, but the Lord was saying to her, "No, wait, stay there until the situation's resolved or until they ask you to leave." And so the next couple of months, of course, it was very difficult. She would often ask me, "Mum, will you pray for me?" So I would pray with her and for her. I would send her verses of encouragement. And so she kept working faithfully and doing the very best that she could. And one of the verses that gave her a lot of strength at that time was Paul's admonition to slaves and the reminder that she was working for God and not just for a manager who found fault in everything that she did. The manager didn't find any good in her work and that she wasn't good enough. And so it was a few months before it came to a resolution and she was asked to leave. But as she left, she felt the Lord say to her, "Well done, good and faithful servant." She had done her best. She had obeyed the Lord. She had worked as hard as she could and obediently and respectfully to those above her. Of course, she had no idea what happened afterwards, how it was resolved, but she had that word from the Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Paul's main concern for Christians is to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, whatever the situation is, whether it's good, difficult, or challenging, whatever it is, work wholeheartedly because we are working for the Lord Jesus Christ. So after listing the duties of employees, Paul goes on to talk about rewards. "Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free." And Paul points to a future reckoning from the Lord. A person will receive a reward for whatever good or bad a person has done. And so Paul was reminding them that nothing goes unnoticed by the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Nothing. He sees everything that we do, and he also sees our heart and the attitude that we have when we serve and work. There may be no thanks on earth. There may be criticism or unthankfulness, but the Lord sees everything. And I think of the quiet background tasks that many of you do in the church here, the ladies in the kitchen, those serving teas and coffee, serving at church luncheons, the men serving at the property in the building. Often it just goes unnoticed. Many of us don't even see all the background work that is being done. But God does, and he sees everything. And I know that those of you who serve in the background in your community or even preparing the emblems each month for the communion service, God sees it all. And he's the one that will reward when the Lord returns. Many of you do work for the community. Again, many people don't notice it, but God does. And that should be an encouragement for us. We are working for the Lord. And when Paul wrote these words, he was thinking of a heavenly reward, since slaves were not normally rewarded in earthly terms. But rewards, whether earthly or heavenly, they do matter. And Paul was not afraid to introduce it as a motivation. And the Lord will reward each one for the good that he has done. And the emphasis is not just on the reward at the final judgment as a consolation for the slaves, but the stress in verse 8 is on each one. The reward for good applies equally to slave, to masters, to workers, to servers. It applies equally to each one of us. Then Paul goes on to speak to the duty of employers, the boss, the masters. "And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." No favoritism. Everything Paul says to employees, to the slaves, to the workers, it also applies to the employers, the masters, the bosses, the managers. Masters were to treat slaves the same way as they themselves would like to be treated, because all are God's children. Both slaves and masters are God's children. And so both are serving God in all that they do. And they will be rewarded or judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. So slaves and masters were to treat each other as real human beings. Whereas in the eyes of the Roman law, a slave was just a chattel, somebody to do the work. And work they did. They were very hard. But Paul is saying the relationship is no longer one-sided. Masters are masters only according to the flesh. As both slaves and masters, they are slaves and masters of Christ. And all must come to the judgment. And God, when he judges, he doesn't notice if somebody was a slave or a free person. He sees us as individuals, people that he died for, that he loved and died for. Both masters and slaves, they have the same Lord, and therefore they have the same standard of conduct in their relationship to each other. If masters realized they were under the same Lord as their slaves, it would mean that although they have the power to force them to work, they will not abuse it by heavy hands of threats. They would treat, and because it was very common for slaves to be just treated as property, somebody that the master could take their frustrations out on and their work. But no, and then Paul makes a very important point that they were not to threaten. And this came very easily to the master of slaves in the ancient world because a slave could not answer back. They couldn't challenge their master. Masters would try to extort the last ounce of energy out of the slave to finish the work that they wanted done or to take out their frustration on them. But Paul is saying, no, you cannot threaten or punish them. This also implies to Christian employers today. I don't know what your situation is, whether you're a manager, an employer, employee, but remember that all of us have a Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in heaven. And he is the one that we have to give an account to for all that we have done, for our attitude, for our work, for our relationship with other people. And so as we come to the conclusion, we need to think about what Paul has said to slaves, because it also applies to all of us. What's our attitude towards those that we serve? Are we short-tempered with them? Do we get frustrated with them? Or are we giving ourselves generously and liberally? We may be serving elderly parents or children or grandchildren or serving in the community. If you're currently employed, pray about the relationship with your employer. Are you treating them with respect? Are you working wholeheartedly? Are you working obediently? We need to consider these things. Employers, managers, leaders, we need to reflect on how we treat those who are working under us. Are we treating them respectfully? Are we encouraging them? And all of us, whatever our work or whatever our serving, are we remembering that we are doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we are doing it for an earthly employer or a work situation, but ultimately we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would like us just to take a short time to just reflect on all that Paul has said and how it affects us in our daily work, in our daily serving. So let's just take a few minutes to reflect on it, and then I will close in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for these words of Paul, that although he was writing to slaves and masters, so much of all that he has written about, it affects us and our attitude to our work and to our serving. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will prompt us every moment of our life, that what we are doing, Lord, we are doing it for you. We are doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ, not just for the person that we have been assigned to look after or to work for. But Lord, we are doing it for you. Would you help us, Lord, to have those attitudes that Paul speaks of to slaves, to be loyal, to be wholehearted, to be generous with our work and our serving. Lord, help us, we pray. And I just pray the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ upon each person here this morning as you go out into the coming week and the coming months. May the Lord strengthen you and enable you to serve him with wholehearted, loving, loyal obedience. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So anybody that would like prayer, please just raise your hand or come to the front and we would be very happy to pray with you. Join us in the cafe out the back for tea and for coffee. There's some lovely people serving you. And yes, if you're new to here to Fairfield Baptist Church, welcome. Do make